You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our lead pastor, Rick Hand, with this week's message.
And today we're going to talk about New Testament prayer. Okay, now the first 3 weeks we talked about Old Testament prayer, right? Daniel, Elijah, Elisha. I know I'm blowing some of y'all's minds right now. Say, what are you talking about? Okay, hang on with me. I'll bring this around, okay? So we've been talking about Old Testament prayer, how they did it in the Old Testament. Today we're going to talk about how they do it in the New Testament, because that's me and you, right? I mean, we're a New Testament church. We're a continuation of that Acts chapter 2 that Justin was talking about just a few moments ago. Let me tell you real quick, if I can, the difference in Old Testament prayer and New Testament prayer, and then I want to show it to you in the book of Acts, okay? Here's the difference. There isn't one, okay? There is not a difference in Old Testament prayer, New Testament prayer, but you know what we do, don't we? We look at the lion's den, right? We look at Elijah, you know, and how God took care of him in a famine. We look at Elisha, and man, he was hearing everything. God was telling him all kinds of stuff. It's like he was tuned into every single wavelength of everything going on in all the world just because how connected he was with God. And we kind of say, well, I could never be like that. That was those guys in the Old Testament, the prophets. No, it's even better. Because the Holy Spirit, if you look in the Old Testament, you see the Holy Spirit moved upon men and women at certain times. But now the church has been filled with the Holy Spirit. So what you see in the Old Testament is not something strange or something that we should never aspire to. But in actuality, we should say, hey, if God did it then, God can do it today. And I want to show it to you in this New Testament because, these aren't the great heroes of faith necessarily that we see in the book of Acts. I mean, like Daniel or Elijah or Elisha. These are just normal, average people. I mean, they were fishermen, right? They were tax collectors. They were physicians, those kinds of things. Just normal, everyday people that God called and God used. Okay, so first thing. Prayer without ceasing. That was something we saw in those first three sermons. We saw it over and over and over, right? It's like they were just praying without ceasing, like connecting with God as if he is always present. That's the way they were operating. Talking about Daniel, Elijah, and Elisha. Remember, it was like, you know, God was right next to them and they were talking to him all the time. And we see this also in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. I don't know if you know this story, but here I'm not going to. I'll probably tell you a little bit more than I've been telling you the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks, but I do want you to encourage you to go into the book of Acts and read these things for yourself, okay? But Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of property and they wanted everybody to think they were something awesome. And so they came and they brought some of the money and they said, hey, we sold a piece of property and here's all the money. And Simon Peter said, and this is a paraphrase, okay? Simon Peter said, you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Spirit, and now you're going to die right this way. And they died. Both of them immediately died right then. Now, how did Peter know that they were lying? How did he know how much money they got? You know, I mean, everything's, you know, they didn't have an internet where everything was out there on the internet like it is today. How did he know that? Because he was in constant touch with God, just like Daniel, Elijah, and Elisha. In Acts chapter 8, Philip. You remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian? Talked about it just a few weeks ago also. This was a cool one because God tells Philip to go to a certain road. And he goes over to this certain road between Jerusalem and Gaza. So go over to this certain road. And he gets over there. And then God says, now go stand by that chariot. He tells him exactly where to stand. So now he goes and stands by a chariot. You know, so what am I doing? I've been there. You know, God tells you to do something. Say, okay, God, I'm here. Now what do I do? As he's standing there, he hears this guy in a chariot, the Ethiopian. He hears him reading from the book of Isaiah, the same book that you and I have, you know, in the Old Testament. And he hears him reading, and Philip says, this is my opportunity. And he speaks to the guy. He says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian says, how can I? No one's here to teach me. And Philip says, hey, let me talk to you about this. And so he goes and he begins to sharing about Isaiah and how Isaiah foretold about Jesus. And then he began teaching about Jesus and explained to him about Jesus. And now the Ethiopian gets saved and becomes a Christian. Why? Because Philip listened to God. He heard God in this way. He wasn't, you know, God didn't have to throw a note out of heaven. He didn't have to hear a sermon. He was hearing him one-on-one. Acts chapter 16. Paul and all of his crew, they were going about and around and they were preaching. And one day this slave girl, and she was a fortune teller. She had a spirit of divination. And she started following around behind him, and she said, "Hey, these are servants of the Most High God. Listen to them because they are giving to us the words of life." And she kept saying that. Now, what would you think about that? Just say, "Hey, that's pretty cool, right?" Well, no. Paul finally, after several days of her doing this, he turned around to her and he spoke to the spirit inside of her and said, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her and cast the demon spirit out of her." How did Paul know? Because it sounded like a good thing she was saying, right? How do you know that when somebody is saying something, it really is God or not? There's one of the gifts of the Spirit that we don't talk about a whole lot, discerning of spirits, that God can actually do that when we are in touch with Him. And then there's Acts chapter 28, one of my favorite stories right there. You know, I preached a sermon a few times called Chakrabrata. You know what Chakrabrata is? You know, hang loose, you know, like the surfers do and everything. Okay, so the Apostle Paul, he finds himself on an island, and they're trying to warm themselves because they've just gotten out of the water, shipwreck, just got out of the water, and so they've got a fire going, and Paul reaches over and he picks up some sticks to throw in the fire, and when he does, a viper, not a chicken snake, a viper, it says, okay, latches onto his hand. But you know what? The night before, he was praying and talking to God, and God revealed to him that he was going to have to stand. He had an appointment with Caesar to tell Caesar about Jesus Christ. And so you know what Paul did? He just said, "Don't worry about it." Chakrabrata, you know, hang loose. It doesn't matter because I have an appointment to see Caesar and testify to him about Jesus Christ. There is no snake in the sticks or no snake in hell that can stop me from what God has called and appointed me to. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of a promise? The kind of a promise that no matter what goes on in your life, you can just say, "Oh, just get off me." You can just say, "Oh, Satan, you can't stop me." Wouldn't you like to have that kind of promise? Guess where you get that? By spending time with God. And I'm not talking about 24/7 on your knees. I'm talking about 24/7 communicating with God, okay? But we also, and we see it here, we see it in the book of Acts, we see them parking their prayers. Y'all remember that? Talking about parking your prayers early this year, we're talking about prayer. Kind of mentioned in this sermon series as well, but let me explain in case you weren't here earlier, you don't know. It is important for you to be connected with God 24/7, talking to Him on a constant basis. But sometimes you got to park your prayers, okay? You know, you ever been talking to somebody, maybe carrying on a conversation, and you know, and you can tell something's not quite right, and finally they say, "Can we talk?" Don't you hate for somebody to say that? I mean, you know, oh goodness, doesn't everything inside of you just clench up when somebody says, "Can we talk?" But can I tell you something? When we're spending time with God, and then we say, "God, can we talk?" He enjoys that. He is excited about you saying, "God, can we talk?" Sometimes, you know, you might just be in conversation, but sometimes you need to say, "Hey, we need to have a sit down and talk." That's the way it is in all of our relationships, and it definitely is with God. Parking your prayers, okay? And we see that going on. We see this going on in the book of Acts. And here are specific prayers that prayed. I got to run through these in a hurry. In Acts chapter 1, they were in the upper room praying for guidance and while waiting for the power that Jesus promised them in the book of Luke. So they were praying in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 6. It specifically talks about how they gathered together regularly for prayer. Acts chapter 4, they prayed in persecution. They prayed for boldness while they were in persecution. In Acts chapter 8, you remember the Jews and Samaritans? They didn't like each other. The Samaritans were considered mongrels by the Jews. But in Acts chapter 8, the Jews, these Jewish Christians, even prayed for Samaritans to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, Paul is praying for the first time to Jesus. He'd prayed to Jehovah many times, but now he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. So now he's praying that first prayer, and we have that recorded. And then Peter prays for Dorcas, who has died, to be raised back to life, and she was raised back to life. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, who is a Gentile, he's actually a Roman centurion, and Simon Peter, who is a Jew. You know, they don't really like each other a whole lot either, right? The Romans and the Jews, but not necessarily Peter and Cornelius. They're both praying in different places, praying for different things, and God starts speaking to them. Listen, when God starts speaking to you about something else, God's taking care of that other side too, okay? He's not sending you over there, just like with Philip. He knew there was an Ethiopian there. I want to touch, I want to reach, I want to connect with. When God is speaking to you, he's also speaking on the other end of this. And this is what he did. He brought them together so that Cornelius and his household could hear about Jesus Christ and receive salvation for his house. Acts chapter 12, they pray for Peter, who is in prison, for preaching Jesus. I always throw that in a lot because I want you to know why Peter was in prison, okay? I don't want you to think he got drunk, you know, a DUI driving his chariot or something, right? Okay, so they pray for Peter in prison. Acts chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas were about to set out on a mission, on their missions, they commissioned them by praying over them. Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas, they established churches and they went back and they prayed for the churches that they planted. In Acts chapter 16, there's prayer by the river. Later in that same chapter, there's prayer in prison. Paul's now in prison, and he's praying again for preaching Jesus. Acts 20, when Paul departed Ephesus, they all snotted and cried over each other and prayed, you know, that God would protect them and bring them back together. Acts chapter 21, same thing happens in Tyre. They're on the beach, and they're praying for one another as Paul is headed back to Jerusalem. He gets to Jerusalem, and we have a prayer in the temple by Paul. Acts chapter 27, he's now on his way to Rome, and on this doomed ship that I was just talking about a few moments ago, before, you know, the viper and all of that little story. On this doomed ship, Paul is praying. And that's when God reveals to him, hey, the ship's going down, but nobody is going to lose their life. You're all going to make it safe. And it happened. And Paul prayed on the doomed ship. Then Acts 28, Publius is one of the men that took care of him, that took care of them when they got there, fed them, gave them warm clothes, did everything he could for them. And he got sick. His father-in-law got sick, his father got sick, and he prayed for him, and he was healed. So, what are the things they pray for? You see, all these prayers and all these chapters, what are the things they pray for? Philip, bring that up for me, if you will. They prayed for mission. They prayed for calling and purpose. They prayed for family and friends. They prayed for leaders and leadership. They prayed for sicknesses and needs. They prayed for et cetera and et cetera and et cetera. Whatever it is that you have need of, we have this in Scripture that's showing us that this is something that you need to be bringing to God. Don't just deal with it on your own. Don't just say, well, I think I got this. No, go ahead, pray about it now, because we have this writer before us that this is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to, you know, not try to be an island and figure it out by ourselves. We're supposed to put ourselves in God's hands and believe that God can meet the needs that we have in every part of our life, all of these. And if you got one that I started to put et cetera instead of three dots there, probably should have. I could have said, that's yours, you know, the et cetera. Well, the three dots is yours, right? If you've got a need that's not, well, I guess it goes under needs, right? If you've got something you need from God, then you need to understand this is exactly what God wants you to do. He wants you to tell him about it. Yesterday, I really hate to mention football on a day like today for all you Alabama fans, you know. But you know, I went to my daughter's house and I was supposed to bring drinks, and so I said, "Well, tell me what you want." And they told me, so I stopped and got a Sprite and tea and something, a Coke, I think, you know. And then on the way, you know, they text me again, you know, "How about a Diet Dr. Pepper too?" So I got to stop again. You know, and I'm a little more ticked with you than I was with them. Didn't show them, you know, I was ticked. I get there, and so I kind of let them know, you know. So I asked you guys twice before I stopped, and they said, "Well, you shouldn't have done that then. We told you if you had already stopped, don't stop again." I said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the granddad." I didn't know if the grandkids wanted this or my little girl, my little 40-year-old girl. I didn't know who wanted this. That's who I am, and you know what? I'm going to stop. That's who God is. He's waiting for you to ask. And then we show up and there's nothing here I want to drink. You didn't ask. There's nothing here I need today. They're not, you know, they didn't sing my song. Boy, they sang mine. I don't know about you. They didn't sing my song. The sermon wasn't what I needed to hear, a sermon about this and this and this going on in my life. And I was like, you haven't asked. Ask God. He's standing there waiting. And just the other day, after some kids. We've got nine grandkids, and Dave always wants a couple at the house, and you know, and I try not to let it be every day of the week, but you know, she always wants a couple at the house. And the other day, some of them were leaving. After they left, she said, "You know, I think that one wanted to stay." And so I contacted him. I said, "Look, I told you you're welcome to come anytime. You got to speak up. Listen to me, okay? You got to speak up and let God know. He wants to know the desire of your heart. Yeah, he already knows, but he wants you to ask. He wants you to ask." Come on, and like the Scripture tells us, if we ask our Father, we know he's not, you know, ask for a fish, we know he's not going to give us a snake. How much more If we ask our Father in heaven, is he going to give us the things that we need of? He wants you to ask. Okay, so that's what New Testament prayer is. All right? And now I want to do a wrap-up of the series real quick. I want to tell you the seven things that I hope you got out of this series, okay, in case you didn't get it. And those of you who like, you know, five steps to this or 12 steps to this, or you're going to like this because I'm going to wrap up with seven things right here, okay? Seven things that we've looked at, we've seen, we've gleaned from, hope that you've gotten, that I definitely want to make sure you got. So I'm going to recap them right here. Okay, so here's the first one. Pray as if God is always by your side. All right, so you got that? I mean, have you heard that? Right? Yeah, okay, we've said it again today. Pray as if God is always by your side, because he is. He is. And so if you're not talking to him, you're ignoring him. Think about that. What if somebody got in a car with you and drove to Tuscaloosa, Montgomery, or somewhere, and you never spoke to them the whole way? You ignored them, didn't you? If he's there, if you believe that he is always with us, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, exactly what Jesus told the disciples. If you believe, I am with you always to the end of the age. If you believe that, then talk to him like that. When you're driving down the road, talk to him like he's sitting right there, because he is. When you're in class it doesn't matter if you're struggling or not, doesn't matter what's going on, that talk to him like he's there, because he is. Now, if it's a middle class, you probably want to do that in your head and not do it out loud, okay? But still, just talk to him, because he is there, all right? Secondly, don't pray as if God is always by your side, but park your prayers at purposeful times and locations. Park your prayers. Parents, let me ask you, have you ever parked your prayer at your kid's school? Have you ever parked a prayer at your kid's school? Now, there are places at school that you're not supposed to park. Don't park there and say, my pastor told me to do that, okay? And call me to bail you out, all right? Don't do that. I mean, you might even have to park across the street in another parking lot or something, but have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Or like last week, I encourage you to go work. You got problems at work? Get there early and sit in the parking lot for 5 minutes and pray. I think I said 10 minutes. 5 minutes to pray and 5 minutes to listen to God, right? So, or kids, teens, same thing with school, is to find you a place to park. What is the place in your life where you're struggling? Or what person in your life is hurting that is on your heart? You need to find some way to go park a prayer nearby them. Park your prayer. We got to connect with them 24/7, but every once in a while, you got to say, God, I got to have a conversation with you, and I'm going to do it right here. So park your prayers. Okay, here's the third thing. Speaking isn't enough. Prayer is not just talking, it's also listening. Work in that time. If I know some of you say, well, you can finish praying in about 2 minutes. Okay, then set your clock for 5 minutes ahead of, you know, needing to get up to go to work, so that you've got time to listen too. If all it takes you to pray is 2 minutes, I guarantee you that time will get longer and longer the more that you pray, because the more you get into it, the more it's going to build into your life. And this is a good thing. But speaking is not enough. You have to listen. Here's what happens when you don't listen. Is God is trying to tell you he's going to do this big, huge, awesome, amazing thing in your life. But if you're not listening to God, you're a million miles away over here doing something else, wondering why God hadn't shown up yet. But he's been trying to talk to you. And so when you listen, then you can go be in the middle of that big, huge, awesome, wonderful, amazing thing that he's wanting to do in your life. He's been planning all this time. But if you're not listening, that's where you are. So that's why you have to listen. That's why you want to listen, because God will put you right where you're supposed to be. But it's not just enough to listen, is it? Listening isn't enough. You got to act. You know, just knowing that he's going to is not enough. I got to get over there in the middle of it, or I got to go do that. It's like the story of Elijah a couple of weeks ago. God took care of him through that drought and the famine. God took care of him. God said, I'm going to take care of you, Elijah. And he told him how he's going to take care of him. I'm going to take care of you with ravens and fresh water at the Brook Cherith in the ravine. But you know what? Elijah had to go to the ravine. Elijah couldn't sit wherever he was when God spoke that to him, and God was going to deliver. You know, it wasn't Kroger. You remember that? We were talking about that in that sermon. Remember? Not Kroger. Elijah had to go there. So he had to listen, but he also had to act. And then God said, now go to Zarephath. Go to Zarephath, and there I'm going to take care of you. And so he goes there, and God takes care of him as well. Or like that Shunammite woman. Also, the great story there, if you missed that one with Elisha, is this woman, she served God, and so God spoke to her and told her, he sent her a word, you need to get out of town, out of the country for 7 years because there's famine coming. Another famine that was coming later, years later than the one we just talked about. And so she leaves, and when she leaves, and God takes care of her by her being away. And then there's a specific time that God leads her to come back, and it's the perfect time, and all of the pieces of the puzzle fit together because she was in tune with God. Listen, when you're listening to God, you know what's going on, but when you are obedient to God, you are in sync with what is going on, and therefore the stuff that God is wanting to do doesn't fall somewhere else. The blessings don't just roll away or get lost because you're there to collect them. You're there to be involved in them. You're there to use them however it is that God wanted you to use them if you're listening and you're obediently acting on those things, okay? Here's three last things that are about prayer being first. Prayers first. Okay, there's three more things. If you call prayers first one of them, then that'd be eight. But really, there's three more things. Let me say this about prayer being first, though. I remember having a man in my church. He came to me, and they had been attending our church for a year and a half or so. And I know it was at least a year because he was leaving the church. He said, my two teenage boys, they're not following God. And he said, I've tried and tried, and this isn't working. He said, every time there's an event, I'm here to set up tables and chairs, to put them back up and to sweep, and God still hadn't saved my boys. You know, but there was no talk of the prayers that he was praying. It's like, we'll try all kinds of stuff, won't we? But do we try prayer? Because here's the first place that prayer is first. It's the first resort, not the last. Don't you hear people say, when all else fails, pray? No, start with prayer. Start with prayer. Because that's where it's all supposed to begin. Imagine it this way. It's like, you know, that next bear that is coming into your life. You remember that one? That was Elisha last week, okay? You know, the next bear that comes into your life, you know, don't you want to, you know that God's standing here? You know, and if you know he's standing right there because you have been connecting with him, you've been listening, and you've been praying about that, then when the bear shows up, you know what? You can do what Paul did with the snake. You say, get out of here. You can't touch me because God has already got a plan for me and for my life. That's why you need to be praying all the time. It's the first resort. Secondly, it's a very first step in salvation. How do you become a Christian without praying? Think about that. And, you know, and I've had people ask me stupid questions like, if I never pray the rest of my life, will I still be a Christian? That's kind of like asking, if I never talk to my wife again, will I still be married? Probably not. Not very long. Legally for a while, but probably not. I mean, asking that question, you know, really, here's the truth of it. I think it's very easy to argue this part. To debate this and say it this way, that if you never talk to God, you probably don't have a relationship with him in the first place. It's not that you're going to lose it. You probably just don't have it. When you've got a relationship with somebody, you want to talk to them. You want to say, when you have lived in his goodness, man, you want to talk to him. You want to spend time with him. It's a very first step, prayer is. And here's the last of the seven things. There is no power without prayer. All right? You want my proof? Jesus told the disciples in Luke chapter 24, I believe it was, go into Jerusalem and wait there until you receive power from on high and the Holy Ghost comes. And you'll receive that power. And so they went, and they prayed. Where'd they go? They went to an upper room, and they prayed, and they fasted, and they were together for 10 days. We know that because just the timeline of everything, because it was on the day of Pentecost, and sometimes we think the word Pentecost means power. It doesn't. That was a festival they had in Jerusalem, and it just happened to be that day. God chose it on purpose, and so now we refer to Pentecost as power, you know, and that's when the power of the Holy Spirit fell, and the church received this power. But there is no Pentecost without the upper room. And, you know, I have people a lot of times, you know, and I think, you know, from my Pentecostal roots and everything, and I'll have people say, oh, you got to get them doing this and doing that. I said, no, you know what? I think if we can get them praying, all that other will take care of itself. I think if I can get you connecting with God 24/7 and occasionally parking your prayers in specific places where you need to be praying, I believe all the rest of that will take care of itself. Because there is no power without prayer. Because there is no Pentecost without the upper room.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.